Hello, everybody. My name is Dick, and I'm an alcoholic.
I'm Mary. I'm an alcoholic.
Welcome to session number 5. We are going to be examining the fourth step today.
Let's start with the set-aside prayer.
God, please let me set aside everything I think I know about sobriety, life, and you so that I may be open to a new experience.
Amen.
So, we're going to look at the fourth step. The instructions begin in the first full paragraph on page 64. The ending of that top of the page says, now we get down to causes and conditions. So the next paragraph says, therefore, we started on a personal inventory. This was step 4. So they're going to compare a personal inventory to a business inventory here in the next couple of paragraphs. So when they talk about a business inventory, think of the corner grocery store, the little convenience store on the corner, the mom-and-pop operation. So that's the kind of business inventory that they're thinking about here.
A business which takes no regular inventory usually goes broke. Taking a commercial inventory is a fact-finding and a fact-facing process.
So they're doing an inventory to find out how many goods are on the shelves and how fast stuff is selling so they can make sure that they stock the shelves appropriately.
It is an effort to discover the truth about the stock in trade. One object is to disclose damaged or unsaleable goods, to get rid of them promptly and without regret.
So as they're going through the inventory in the corner grocery store and they see a can of soup on the soup aisle that has no label on it, they're going to just simply say, well, we can't sell that. We'll have to throw it away to make room for products that they can sell so that they can make a profit, so that they can support their family. What they don't do is say, oh, the Campbell soup salesman was such a nice guy. They're not worried about that. They're just simply looking at the truth, the facts here.
If the owner of the business is to be successful, he cannot fool himself about values. We did exactly the same thing with our lives. We took stock honestly.
So we're going to look at where are the damaged and unsaleable goods in our personal inventory.
First, we searched out the flaws in our makeup, which caused our failure.
The big book does not tell us to put our assets on the fourth step inventory. That is not a consideration. I didn't get here on a winning streak. I don't need to look at the assets. We're looking at the stuff that has blocked us off from the sunlight of the Spirit.
Being convinced that self manifested in various ways was what had defeated us, we considered its common manifestations, or the way it's been revealed, or how it shows up in us. There are 3 common manifestations. There's resentment, there's fear, and there's sex conduct. And we're going to look at the instructions for each of them.
So why did they pick those 3? Because they felt that gets at the grosser handicaps, the things that are the most likely to cause us problems. Is it the end-all, be-all? No, but it's a great place to start. So we're going to look at those 3 inventories.
The instructions for the resentment inventories follow in this paragraph. Resentment is the number one offender. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else. From it stem all forms of spiritual disease. For we have been not only mentally and physically ill, we have been spiritually sick. When the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically.
So that's the upside-down nature of Alcoholics Anonymous. The rest of the world, the people in the helping professions in the world, if there's a particular thing going on in a person's life, they'll talk about it, the person will kind of get their head around it, and then they will change their behavior. That does not work with alcoholics. Why? Because we suffer from an obsession, which is an idea that cannot be overcome by another idea. So we have to take the action, and then our thinking changes. It's upside down from 90% of the population in the universe. So that's why many, many people in the helping professions don't get alcoholics, because we're different than the norm.
In dealing with resentments, we set them on paper.
So we're not going to compose a song about them. We're not going to keep it in our head. We're going to put them on paper. So on the website, you will find templates showing you how to put together a fourth step. There will also be a glossary here. Now, my recommendation to you is to either have them up on the screen as we're doing this discussing, or print them and have them in front of you. I prefer that, but some people don't have printers readily available to them. So we're going to set this stuff on paper. Now, my recommendation, well, we'll get to that in a minute.
We listed people, institutions, or principals with whom we were angry.
If you've got that template sitting in front of you, you will notice that that is the instructions for column one. It says on the resentment inventory, I'm resentful at. And above it is in quotation marks listed what Mary just read.
So again, we're talking about resentment, things that made us angry, sentiments that we replay over and over in our heads.
So we all understand what people are. An institution is things like the school that asked me to leave. Actually, they called my parents and said, we don't care where Dick is tomorrow. As long as it's not here, please come pick him up and don't let him darken the doors of this school again. So they obviously showed up on my resentment inventory. And a principle is things like honesty, speed limits, those kinds of things. An institution also might be the courts.
Or a church.
Or the IRS, those kinds of things.
So again, we're going to make a list of people, institutions, or principals with whom we were angry.
So how does every American make a list? Everybody in America always writes lists down, do they not? If you make your grocery list, you're writing down. If you're making your to-do list, you write top to bottom. They did not say to write a thesis, a journal. Those are not bad things. They're just not what we're doing here. So we're going to make lists. How long does it take you to make a grocery list? 10, 15 minutes? Multiply that, because there's four columns, multiply that times four, and you're going to take an hour, maybe, to do these four-step inventories. This is not a complicated thing. You can be thorough without being complicated. Now, let's be clear about one thing. You are working on your four-step when the pen is in your hand or pencil's in your hand, and you are in the pencils moving on the paper. Thinking about it, all those things are not working on your four-step. It's only when you're writing.
We asked ourselves why we were angry.
So that's the instructions for column two, the cause. Why am I angry? So in the case of the school that I just gave you, the example, why am I angry at the school? Kicked me out. It's not a whole journal about how it did happen and where I had to go afterwards and all that nonsense. Simply, the school threw me out. In the case of another example on my list would be my father. I was angry at my father. The cause of that was that he used to beat up mom. I'm not going to go into all how traumatic it was to grow up in that kind of a household and all that kind of thing. I'm just simply making a list.
So we've gotten instructions now for column one and column two, and if you look at your template, you'll see that's thoroughly described. We asked ourselves why we were angry, which was column two. Now we go on to column three. In most cases, it was found that our self-esteem, our pocketbooks, our ambitions, our personal relations, including sex, were hurt or threatened. So we were sore. We were burned up. On our grudge list, we set opposite each name our injuries. So again, they're referring to the fact that our grudge list is column one. Opposite our name are the injuries. That's column two. Now we're going to go into the only words that are allowed to show up in column three.
And it's affect my. So here are the words that we're going to use in column three.
Was it our self-esteem, our security, our ambitions, our personal or sex relations which had been interfered with?
So I think there's three kinds of security. You have personal security, emotional security, and financial security. And I would say that you might want to delineate those. So in the case of my father beating up mom, what happened was I had a resentment against him. It affected my personal security because I was afraid that us kids wouldn't be next. Didn't turn out that way, but these are resentments, real or imagined. So it was an imagined. I never was. Dad never beat us kids up. But I had that fear. It affected, in some cases, it may have affected some personal relationships. It did, because I was concerned about having friends over and having them see that kind of thing. So we're going to use those words. Was it my self-esteem? And self-esteem is defined as
what we think of ourselves.
So it affected that situation with my dad affected my self-esteem because I wanted you to think that I came from a father knows best. That's an old TV show in the 50s, a father knows best kind of home. And so, but that's what I thought of myself, but that wasn't reality.
Dick's talked about the security. So was it our self-esteem, our security, our ambitions? Ambitions is defined in your four-step glossary as your plans or great desires, our personal or sex relations. And again, those are defined on the four-step glossary. We were usually as definite as this example. I'm going to read it the way we will write it. I'm going to read down first column one. I'm resentful at Mr. Brown, Mrs. Jones, my employer, my wife.
So this column, you're simply listing people that you're angry at. Just making a list and write as many as you can and then move on.
Column two, the cause. These are going to be memory triggers. They're not even full sentences. So the cause, his attention to my wife, told my wife of my mistress, Brown may get my job at the office. All right, so now relating to Mrs. Jones, she's a nut, she snubbed me, she committed her husband for drinking, he's my friend, she's a gossip.
The way Mary is reading this and the way we write this, the reason we do lists, we do down like she's doing, is so that we don't relive these, so that we don't get into the whole journaling kind of thing.
And if you notice the difference between what we've just done between Mr. Brown and Mrs. Jones, Mr. Brown actually put 3 points together. When it comes to Mrs. Jones, we've just got it all kind of crammed together in one little mini paragraph.
And the reason for that is because they all agreed at the beginning that they would absolutely agree on everything that's in the book. So my suspicion is that some of the people did it the way the Mr. Brown example is, and some of the people did it the way the Mrs. Jones example is, so they include them both styles. They're just simply stylistic.
Now, as it relates to my employer, the cause or why I'm angry, and we're in column two, is unreasonable, unjust, overbearing, threatens to fire me for drinking and padding my expense account.
What?
Now, as far as the cause, as it concerns my wife, it's misunderstands and nags, likes Brown, wants house put in her name.
So notice again, as Mary said, these are not even full sentences. They're simply memory triggers. You're going to need that sort of memory trigger when you're doing your fifth step.
And these are snapshots of the problem. Now we're going to look at column three. And again, it's interesting because the style difference. Mm-hmm. As it comes to Mr. Brown, affects my sex relations, self-esteem, and the word fear is in
So that's how his attention to my wife affected him. Now he's going to write how it affected him when he told my wife of my mistress.
Sex relations, self-esteem, fear.
And as it relates to Mr. Brown getting my job at the office?
Security, self-esteem, fear. Now, when we go to Mrs. Jones, you notice that everything is combined together, affects my personal relationship, self-esteem, fear. When it comes to my employer, self-esteem, fear, security. The last one is interesting because all of a sudden we have this new word pop up. Pride. Personal sex relations, security, fear.
Again, I think that happened because they all agreed on everything that was going to be in the book, and some people said, hey, I use pride in that affects my column, and others didn't, so they didn't put it in the instructions, but they put it in the example. So go ahead and use pride.
And if you notice, the word fear is in parentheses, and that's a memory trigger because not only do we have resentments around certain people, institutions, and principles, some of them actually trigger fears, and our next inventory, no surprise, is going to be the fear inventory.
And a pride is a high or inordinate opinion of one's own dignity, importance, merit, or superiority, whether as cherished in the mind or displayed in bearing and overbearing conduct and so on. So it's an unusually high opinion of yourself.
We went back through our lives. How far back do we go?
All the way.
I counsel people that I work with, women that I work with, as we go through the steps to go back as far as your memory will take you. And I think at age 7, we sort of come into that age of reason. So go back as far as you can. I know some people who are able to go back to age 4. The bottom line is we want to be thorough because here's what they tell us.
But don't worry about it if you can't go back that far. I have some memory issues. I can't remember that far back, and that's okay. If I'm being honest about that, if I stuffed my head to a windshield and I had some issues about memory, don't worry about it. Go as far back as you can.
Some of us were lucky enough to have blackouts, and so of course I have no memory of what that was all about.
Right.
Nothing counted but thoroughness and honesty. When we were finished, we considered it carefully. The first thing apparent was that this world and its people were often quite wrong. To conclude that others were wrong was as far as most of us ever got. So can you imagine my delight when I opened the page to page 65 and thought, oh, this is going to be a lot of fun. I get to just sort of put down everything that makes me angry and what it affects in me. Well, I really wish they could have snuck what's coming up onto the page, because we're going to find out that the fourth step is where we really need to focus.
Fourth column.
I'm sorry, the fourth column.
And we're going to just get... Why isn't that in the example? The authors of the book, in 1939, America was a reading public. Half of the United States of America did not have electricity. The REA, the Rural Electrification Association, had just started. And there was a lot of people who didn't have electricity, so they couldn't even listen to the radio. And, of course, TV hadn't been invented. So the written word was how they communicated with each other, and word problems. You remember the word problems when you were in school? You know, the train leaving Chicago at 60 miles an hour and a train leaving St. Louis at such and such a speed. How long do they each travel before they cross? It's like, who cares? But that's the sort of thing that the way they learned in the day. So these written words are going to give us the instructions for that fourth column that is not in the example in the book, but it shows up on our template here.
So again, to conclude that others were wrong was as far as most of us ever got. The usual outcome was that people continued to wrong us and we stayed sore. Sometimes it was remorse and then we were sore at ourselves. But the more we fought and tried to have our own way, the worse matters got. As in war, the victor only seemed to win. Our moments of triumph were short-lived. It is plain that a life which includes a deep resentment leads only to futility and unhappiness. To the precise extent that we permit these, do we squander or waste the hours that might have been worthwhile. But with the alcoholic, whose hope is the maintenance and growth of a spiritual experience, this business of resentment is infinitely grave. We found that it is fatal.
Grave, fatal, all meaning we die from it.
For when harboring such feelings, we shut ourselves off from the sunlight of the spirit. The insanity of alcohol returns and we drink again. And with us, to drink is to die.
So that's what they mean by dying, fatal, grave.
If we were to live, we had to be free of anger. The grouch and the brainstorm were not for us.
The word brainstorm in the 1930s did not mean what it means today. It means increased cerebral activity in the mind, which drives us crazy.
Yes, causing temporary mental derangement. So we know today brainstorm has a totally different definition.
In business, we go brainstorm a particular issue.
Create new ideas.
Yeah.
They may be the dubious or doubtful luxury of normal men, but for the alcoholic, these things are poison. We turn back to the list, for it held the key to the future. We were prepared to look at it from an entirely different angle.
So are you ready to look at it from a different angle?
Instead of saying, oh, everybody wronged me. Now, we began to see that the world and its people really dominated us. In that state, the wrongdoings of others, fancied, meaning made up, or real, had power to actually kill. How could we escape? We saw that these resentments must be mastered, but how? We could not wish them away any more than alcohol. This was our course. We realized that the people who wronged us were perhaps spiritually sick. Though we did not like their symptoms, from column 2, and the way these disturbed us, from column 3, they, like ourselves, were sick too. We ask God to help us show them the same tolerance, pity, and patience that we would cheerfully grant a sick friend. When a person offended, we said to ourselves, this is a sick man. How can I be helpful to him? God, save me from being angry. Thy will be done. We avoid retaliation or argument. We wouldn't treat sick people that way. If we do, we destroy our chance of being helpful. We cannot be helpful to all people, but at least God will show us how to take a kindly and tolerant view of each and every one. Referring to our list again, putting out of our minds the wrongs others had done, we resolutely looked for our own mistakes.
How do I put out of my mind the wrongs that others had done? In the case of the example of my father, how do I put out of my mind the wrongs that he did? That's not appropriate to wail on your wife. They give us some prayers in the paragraph at the top of the page. The first one is the one that's in quotes at the very bottom of that paragraph at the top of the page. This is a sick man. How can I be helpful to him? God, save me from being angry. Thy will be done. Now I'm able to look for my mistakes. In the case of my father, I think it's safe to call him a sick man. I think that's sick behavior. But there are a lot of people who I might not, that may seem judgmental. So I can say, well, this is just an imperfect human being. I can adapt those words. Now, in the case of my father, what was my mistake? What mistake did I have? It wasn't me that was beating up Mom. What was my mistake? My mistake was when I say that prayer, now I look at my behavior. It wasn't at the act, but later in the school that I went to, they had school counselors, and the school counselor would say, how's everything at home, Dick? I would say, fine, just fine. That's a mistake. People were offering me help, and I chose not to accept that help. That's my mistake. So, and in the case of an institution, the school that threw me out, I say the prayer that's above it. Then the third sentence down, God, help me show them, the school, the same tolerance, pity, and patience I would cheerfully grant a sick friend. As I have done that throughout my life, that school is now including me as an alumni, even though I was thrown out of that school in the ninth grade. And I get all the alumni stuff. They list me as an alumni in their school publications. And it's the relationship is quite different than it was before I did this work. So, back down to what Mary just read, putting out of our minds the wrongs other does had done. We resolutely look for our own mistakes. It does not say we look for my part. Nowhere in this book does it say I'm to look for my part. Because if I know what my part is, that means I know what your part is, and that is none of my business.
The other thing is, if we use the word part, I start thinking percentages. Well, you know, I was only 5% at fault, and they had 95% of the issue.
So the question is my mistakes. Later on, they're going to call it faults, where they're going to say, they're going to use all kinds of synonyms for that column, but we're looking for our mistakes. My part has nothing to do with anything here.
Now, the next sentence is going to show us the only four words that we are to use in the fourth column of the four steps. Where had we been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened? Those words are defined in your glossary.
So was I selfish in the instance of with my father, the relationship I had with my father? Sure, I wasn't willing to take a help from the school. Was I dishonest? It's dishonest when you say to the school counselor, everything's fine at home when it's not fine at home. Self-seeking, I wanted to enjoy a certain reputation I knew I didn't deserve. And was I frightened? Yes, I didn't need to be, but it's real or imagined. I was frightened.
Though a situation had not been entirely our fault, we tried to disregard the other person involved entirely.
So we try to do that by using the prayer work. And by the way, those two prayers at the top of page 67 are listed on the bottom of your template.
Where were we to blame? The inventory was ours, not the other man's. When we saw our faults, we listed them.
So it's a fault. It's a mistake. Those are synonyms. It doesn't say where we saw our part. It says our faults.
We placed them before us in black and white. We admitted our wrongs honestly and were willing to set these matters straight.
So that's a reference to steps 8 and 9. We're not there yet. So that's the end of the instructions for the resentment inventory. We're now going to move on to the fear inventory.
As they write textbooks, go ahead and tell them.
Well, when you write a textbook, once they teach you how to do something, they're not going to reteach you. That's when you learned in, what it was, it sixth grade or something, how to do addition and subtraction.
Hopefully earlier than that.
Well, whenever they teach it, I don't know. I didn't learn it until I was in high school. But nonetheless, when they teach you how to add and subtract in a math class, when they move on to multiplication and division, they assume you know how to add and subtract. They're not going to reteach adding and subtracting. Same thing with this textbook.
All right, so here are the instructions for fear. We're in that last paragraph on page 67. Notice that the word fear is bracketed alongside the difficulties with Mr. Brown, Mrs. Jones, the employer, and the wife.
That's on page 65 that they made that.
This short word somehow touches about every aspect of our lives. It was an evil and corroding thread, The fabric of our existence was shot through with it. It set in motion trains of circumstances which brought us misfortune we felt we didn't deserve. But did not we ourselves set the ball rolling? Sometimes we think fear ought to be classed with stealing. It seems to cause more trouble. We reviewed our fears thoroughly.
There's the instructions for column one on the fear inventory. Now, do you hopefully have that template out and in front of you now?
We put them on paper, even though we had no resentment in connection with them.
So what that means is that I'm going to put look at the resentment inventory. Where fear is connected to it, I'm going to put those names on my fear inventory. Then I'm going to go back through my life, and I am going to add to my fear inventory fears I had that I didn't have any resentment in connection with. And for me, that was credit card companies. I was quite good at fraudulently obtaining credit cards, running them up to the maximum, and stiffing the credit card companies. I didn't have a resentment against the credit card companies, but I was fearful that they might catch me. So their name, by bank name, is going to go on my fear inventory.
A lot of my fears are a little less concrete. They are not people, they are concepts or principles such as, I'm fearful of success, however, isn't it interesting, I'm also fearful of failure. So when we write our fear list, we just go ahead and place all of those in the list, and here's the column two question. We asked ourselves why we had them. Wasn't it because self-reliance failed us? Self-reliance was good as far as it went, but it didn't go far enough. Now, for me, that sentence, and we're going to go back through it again around self-reliance, what we do on the inventory is we actually write down what would happen if the worst happened. So I'm fearful of success because I think I'm going to attract false friends who are all going to ride around in my Learjet and only like me for my money.
That didn't happen.
I also am fearful of success because of the imposter syndrome. People are going to find out I really don't know what I'm doing. I'm fearful of failure because I might become a bag lady. So you see, I take it to extremes. Self-reliance was good as far as it went, but it didn't go far enough. Some of us once had great self-confidence, but it didn't fully solve the fear problem or any other. When it made us cocky, it was worse. Perhaps there is a better way. We think so. We are now on a different basis. That different basis is the fact that we've taken the third step and we've turned our will and our lives over to the care of a higher power. The basis of trusting and relying upon God. We trust infinite God rather than our finite selves. We are in the world to play the role He assigns. Remember back on pages 60 through 63 where we found out, oh, God's the director, I'm just the actor. Yet I was always trying to be the director.
So here's the promise of the fear conduct inventory promise or result.
Just to the extent that we do as we think He would have us and humbly rely on Him, does He enable us to match calamity with serenity. We never apologize to anyone for depending upon our Creator. We can laugh at those who think spirituality the way of weakness. Paradoxically, or kind of on the opposite end, it is the way of strength. The verdict of the ages is that faith means courage. All men of faith have courage. They trust their God. We never apologize for God. Instead, we let Him demonstrate through us what He can do.
And here's the fourth column prayer now.
For
fear.
Fear.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll notice on the template, we just have a little P.
The little column on the template is a place to put a check mark to make sure that we do the prayer work before we move on to the fourth column.
We ask Him to remove our fear and direct our attention to what He would have us be.
And here's the promise.
At once, we commence to outgrow fear.
So that's the end of the fear inventories. We're going to now move on to the sex conduct inventory.
Actually, before we do that, I'd like to just review how I do the fear inventory. I write my list of what I'm fearful at, top to bottom. I go ahead and write what is the worst thing that could happen if this fear came true. I then go in and use the appropriate words that have been given to us. For the effects my, in the self-esteem, security, ambitions, personal or sex relations. Then I get down on my knees at this point. So you see we've been going top to bottom for column one, column two, and column three. when I get to column 3 and it's time to move over to the prayer work and my mistake, I get down on my knees, I say the prayer, and then I write out my mistake.
So Mary comes from a Christian tradition, and that is the way that they humble themselves to honor their God. If that's not your tradition, don't worry about it. If it is, it's a great exercise to do. We're trying to get to a humble place, and that's the reason for the prayer work.
And one way to get to that humble place is to eventually understand on the page 68, top of the page, where they say, we asked ourselves why we had them. Wasn't it because self-reliance failed us? My guess is that that's a big jump for a lot of us to come from, what is the worst thing that's going to happen to me? I'm going to be a bag lady. To all of a sudden be able to snap in and say, oh, self-reliance was failing me. My experience is that that conversation comes out in the fifth step, so that the person hearing my fifth step is able to talk to me about how faith and fear do not coexist.
The 12 steps, working the 12 steps is a contact sport. Mary just talked about doing the fifth step with your sponsor, and we're going to be doing the fourth steps with our sponsor. When I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, I could neither read nor write. It was a physical malady. I suffered from alcoholic neuropathy. It took a long time to overcome that. But so my sponsor actually wrote